What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Jason Aldean, try that in a small town controversy.
And how the writer's strike is affecting the music industry. You're listening to The Biz Tape.
Welcome to Biz Tape, your all things music business and media podcast. I'm your host, Colin McKay, with my co-host, Joseph Wasileski, coast to coast, here for another episode.
Yeah,
of,
until I'm gone again.
Until Joe's gone again. John, our other third podcast host you've never heard of before. He's just never here. He's just never available. He's just always off somewhere doing something.
John's actually my alter ego. He steps in for me.
Joe's in like a split kind of movie scenario. Where
have you
like,
seen
John
Interstellar?
There?
That's where I'm at. I'm in the little
you're in the walls
room. Yeah. Yeah, I'm behind the bookshelf. Colin, do you see
everybody's freaking busy.
Murph.
Oh, God. What a movie.
That got really dark for a second there.
It's
which
all right.
I rewatched that movie, and I will say people shout on that movie. It's an amazing movie.
It holds up
so good. The ending is a little weird.
I think the funniest part is I think I've said on this show before, which is hilarious for me to say this after I say it. That movie came out at the same time as the worst movie that's like, you know, when two movies come out around the same time and they're around like the same theme and also kind of same set piece. Well, that was Interstellar and Gravity. Remember
Gravity
that movie?
Was horrible. That movie was so bad.
And everybody was like trying to defend it just from cinematography. And I was like, that's great. But like,
remember when there's a they whole movie marketed the movie like George Clooney was in the whole movie and then he died.
Oh my
in the first
God.
10 minutes
spoilers for a movie that came out 10 years ago. Oh man. Joe.
God. I will say like the cool thing about that movie is like the BTS of like how they filmed the ship and everything. It's like, it's really, really cool. But the actual movie itself is hot garbage because it's very boring. You're just following who
you're Sandra Bullocking it up.
Yes, you're following Sandra Bullock, which like we love Sandra Bullock, but like it's literally just her crying.
She adopted a young alien in the movie to take care of, and he plays football. No, wrong movie. Sorry. Anyway, let's just start this freaking show for God's sakes. I don't even know what Joe has, by the way. We're just going to go right into it.
Yeah, we're kind of doing a little surprise episode for each other.
Yeah,
we don't have any briefing.
We don't know what's going on. Can I start with mine? Joe, what is yours actually?
Mine's about the writer's strike a little bit, but also it goes into the music industry. So,
The only reason I'm asking is I was like, knowing our brains, we would pick the same story. So true. I was like, literally in my brain, I was like, well, please, for the love of God, don't pick this story.
I saw your Instagram post.
Okay, so yes, we do have our Instagram story at the Biz Tape pretty much everywhere. If you want to follow that about, you know, a hint of what we're talking about, which we didn't get to talk about last week since we were off. But Joe, let's start with the writer's strike, and then I'll get into the most new controversial country song yet.
Amazing. So, as the Hollywood strike continues to rage on with SAG-AFTRA and WGA joining the picket lines, the music sync business has halted to a almost complete standstill. So if you don't know, the sync business or the sync arm of the entertainment industry is a $1.5 billion arm with a B, in the entertainment industry, and was actually like set to rise over the next couple of years. And it is now completely halted pretty much because of the writer's strike, because as we know, pretty much every single production except those productions that are union approved have completely halted. But for those of you who don't know, the sync industry is responsible for the placements of your favorite songs in your favorite shows and movies. Many people are responsible for these creative choices, most notably music supervisors who shift through hundreds and thousands of submissions in order to find the perfect song for the perfect scene. However, most supervisors, which I feel like most people in the music industry don't even know this, most supervisors are freelance contractors, and they're hired on per project and are not unionized, even though many working under Netflix, for example, have filed to join IATSE, which is still very much pending. It's kind of interesting.
That's really interesting. Yeah,
the
sync
arm
really
is very, yeah, it's very like old. It's like one of the more older sections of the industry to some extent. I feel like sync really took off with TV, and then it like kind of fell into film after that, after like a lot of these shows and like TV shows were starting to get more and more.
And I would say it's one of the oldest kind of recorded bass pieces of music, because you got to think all the way back to like the Silver Age. Like they would produce a piano score that would go up with the movie, and this guy, you know, talkies, before talkies were a thing. You kids. Anyway, before kids were talking in movies, you know, like they'd have a piano player on the side of a movie theater, and like what would they do? That was the score. That was what was synced to the movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty baffling, and I think a lot of that has to do with kind of the structure of the industry, right? With like a lot of these supervisors being contracted labor, they haven't really had a chance to unionize together, because when you're kind of in a contract job, it's which, like, for instance, me, I'm in a lot of content contractual work, and I would say that the reason we don't have a union is because, like, a lot of the times we don't talk to each other.
in a lot of regards.
Like, I don't really talk to a ton of other photographers or videographers. There's only like a handful of people that I actually know, and the rest of the people I actually interact with are like clients and like client teams and stuff like that. So it's very like, it's a very lonely leg of the job, right? You only have a couple of points of contact. And so over the years, I feel like it's a lot of these, I guess, studios have kind of taken upon themselves to kind of like cut that a little bit out of it. But I think as more and more money rolls in, it's getting less and less, like, it doesn't make much sense that these people don't have a union, essentially. Especially with how much money they're making.
Especially how dominant, like, you know, where I live in Nashville, you know, there's nothing like that, but there's also no unions anywhere, right? It is kind of weird if you think about it in the grand scheme that literally all of Hollywood is unionized except for the music supervisors. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, the ones that are out.
I would actually say, like, you would think all of Hollywood's unionized, but there's still like a lot of productions, including myself. Like, I am not union. I would love to be union.
Boo!
Please don't boo me. But The main thing is, like, I work primarily in the music industry, and so it's like, it's the music industry is very, even though like this is kind of the arm that connects the two, right? The sync industry to like the music industry to the on-screen industry. Right. It's very separate for the most part when it comes to everything else. And so a lot of things are like, you know, a lot of small businesses and a lot of small content collection firms and like that kind of stuff are like very much permeating throughout LA. But if you're working on like classic film sets and stuff, like all of those are unionized because a lot of the times they won't even let you on set unless are a union member. So, but what does this mean for the industry? Well, according to some experts, it means pivoting until the industry heals, such as pitching to the gaming industry, which has earned a whopping $138 billion in 2020 and is still the highest grossing arm in the entertainment space.
I remember there was about 3 years when I was about 13 where Fortunate Son was in like 15 war games.
Yes.
And I was like,
every Call of Duty game ever.
Yeah. Some folks are born made to raise Mason, you know, like that was all it was, like literally. And I, you know, it is funny because we overlook it so much sometimes with video games, especially with music.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I actually, what's surprising is like a lot of the payouts for games are higher than movie television because they have more money. And the thing about that is like, in some respects, it like, I guess games are a bit different because you can actually trade out the songs. So it's like, for instance, Fortnite, right? Huge, huge competition in the sync space for that particular game. One of the reasons is because it had Fortnite Radio. Fortnite Radio where your little 5-year-old cousin and your also friend who's like 28 years old is like also... listening to, but
When we talked about it when he was on there, and remember when we talked about when Travis Scott, nothing could happen to his career at all when he was on top of the world with Fortnite.
Yeah, God. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, besides the concerts, like the actual radio station, like you can change, and like it's the same for GTA and stuff too. They can actually switch those songs out through an update, and so like. In some respect, you might have the opportunity to get some of your other songs synced in those games.
Continual like, pitching.
Yeah, exactly. And in a lot of ways, the sync world is very much a one-time payment. So it's like, if my song's only on there for like 3 months, as opposed to the whole time the thing exists, might actually be a better deal if I'm getting paid more money for it.
It's definitely one of the few markets of music that is like upfront payment, like just straight upfront payment for stuff like that. You know, like if I was like an artist and I needed to start making like money, which is like every freaking TikTok producer that's like, hey guys, have you ever heard of sync licensing? You know, but no, like seriously though, the reason why that always is there is because it's just upfront money. Now, pay the taxes on that money most of the time, but still it's amazing because like, you know, like compared to the rest of the industry, it's, you're getting some percentage that's coming through, that's getting broken down. And then, you know, you go to a movie studio or a video game company, they're like, here's $4,000. Goodbye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's really rare now. It's like the closest thing I can think of being like a patron, you know, when you were classical musicians and Mozart being like, the king is paying for me. You know, but it is definitely a market that is ever growing, and I think maybe would fill a hole for now for Hollywood. But like, Hollywood is such a big deal, and I was also going to put in there, like you were saying, the same way that you can continually patch a game and put new music in there and add new music, so you kind of have a pipeline to keep pitching. You know, the reason you can't do it with movies in particular is because legally they are bound to the picture. For the rest of that, like that has to do with the copyright of the film.
It is printed in it.
Yeah, and so it can never be removed, which is unlike TV shows. I don't know if you remember that, Joe, but like when Netflix started re-releasing TV shows, because for, again, for the young folk out there who don't know about when the talkies came out, for the young folk out there, I remember when Netflix first started doing like TV shows, and people used to complain all the time. And they used to complain all the time about the sync music because it would be different. I remember the big one was Scrubs. Scrubs had completely different music in it than it did when it aired. And that was insane at the time because people were not used to that. So for movies, like it's a locked in deal, but for games and TV now with streaming, you can actually make, you know, continually pitching this music over and over, or new music you find and be like, hey, Scrubs, you don't want to pay $5 million for this Rolling Stones song. How about a Struts song, you know, or something like that. But yeah, I, Joe, what do you think of this hole though? Like that they're going to deal with for right now. You know, we don't. Everybody's focusing on the writers and the actors, just so. But a lot of these writers and actors have brought up the surrounding industry around these, you know, giant businesses at the end of the day, and these business from music supervisors to catering to all that stuff. What do we think about these music supervisors out there right now that are 1099, you know what I mean? They're not union or anything.
Well, unfortunately, it means that like COVID, a lot of people are going to have to move on from their supervisor positions, depending on how long this strike takes place. And if we've, you know, historically, this, I mean, what, the last writer strike didn't take a whole year at least for there to be a deal. And we're not even close to that. With this strike, and it seems like both sides are in it for the long haul. So because of that, a lot of these people, these supervisors, have also had to recently fire staff in order to keep the lights on a bit. And a lot of these staff members are coordinator positions that are more like a partnership. It's like you're with your supervisor and your supervisor. It's like a two-person gig, pretty much. And so you can imagine a lot of this is very personal and like heartbreaking for a lot of these people to let go some of their staff.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's something that they have to do. And those that are still lucky enough to secure some syncs are only securing syncs in the post-production process currently, which will most likely end soon, and are already having issues because a lot of the times in the post-production process, you still need your writers in order to come and give notes for it to like make sense in the edit. And then also they're getting some syncs through union approved productions, which is very, very rare. A24, for example, got approved on one of their productions to continue making the movie. And
by the union themselves, right?
By the union themselves.
They were like, will you play by these rules? And then A24 and then was they like, went, yes.
Yeah, they said, of course. And A24 being a indie filmmaking company, which I think a lot of people forget, they're still independent. They just distribute through majors.
Right.
Pretty much. But they're able to meet the demands. So why aren't these other companies able to meet the demands? Who knows? But yeah, eventually the strike may get to a spot of complete and total entertainment emptiness, which is somewhat the goal for writers and actors, but hopefully a deal will be had before it gets to that point. One of the main reasons it's a goal for them is because when there is no new content coming out and just a bunch of garbage content, that means subscriber numbers are going to drop like crazy.
You're going to see a lot of more reality TV coming on.
Well, you're going to start getting a lot more reality TV, but I have a hypothesis on that. I feel like it's not going to be as big of a boom as it was before, because reality TV, when it boomed before, was very new. It was like, this is the brand new thing.
So yeah. Like, the last time the commercial actors went like on strike was 2000, which the year 2000 was like, you know, right when reality TV first was becoming a thing, you know what I mean? So yeah, I agree with you on that one, like completely. And
yeah, I just don't think the hype is going to be as strong for it.
Well, I think one thing that I will say, kind of a parable to the live side that I work in, is experience loss. And I think it will be very palatable and very real for a lot of Hollywood and production for a while. And what I mean by this is that, and there's a lot of people I've talked to with industries that have been primarily affected by COVID, but I think this still also applies because this is fundamentally a stop to work, right? In the same way that COVID was for the live side, right? So in that same way, one of the biggest things we talk about is just experience loss, like all the time between a lot of these big tech companies that are trying to, you know, do professional audio, do professional lighting, do, you know, staging, all this kind of stuff. And the reason why is because the entertainment industry specifically at the time of COVID had so many people that had to leave because they couldn't have any work anymore and they needed to find a new job. And then they decided to stay in their jobs, right? Mm-hmm. That they had got during the pandemic, or, you know, worse, they passed away during the pandemic, or worse, you know, they were put in such dire financial straits, they can't work anymore. You know what I mean? Either health-wise or in just like, you know, mental state, all that kind of stuff. Not to bring a big, you know, sad moment to the show, but it's true. And so I think personally with all these strikes is that we will see for a minute, you know, the strike has been going on for a historically long amount of time. I mean, the like longest SAG strike was 6 months in 2000, right? And this one has a lot of steam to it. It's got a lot more unions as a part of it, right? And so I wonder, especially not even just from an actor front or a, you know, like say like a master carpenter or, you know, like these music supervisors, I wonder these other industries that will be affected by it and these specialists that will have to take their skills and move somewhere else because they need to live, right? Mm-hmm. And I wonder which ones we will lose in the same way that I've experienced it personally in my work, where we just lose this experience, right? The ability, and like, you know, I don't, acting, you know, is one thing. I'm sure there are actors that are like, I might go into retirement, you know what I mean? That are on the older end, right? And everything. But I'm talking about like skills that are very apparent and delay production by a long time. For instance, like my master carpenter example, like building a film set is not like building a house, right? Mm-hmm. It is very fast. It is, you know, very detail oriented, all this kind of stuff. That takes a specific skill set that you cannot just get someone that knows how to build an A-frame of a house and they can build a set, right? And so I wonder for people like that, that have skills that can transfer to other industries, what these strikes will leave, you know what I mean? And the same thing with these music supervisors, right? They have less protections because they're not part of these unions. So there's less of a reason to stay because they feel like even if they bite the bullet and feel the burden, they might not get the benefits that these unions get. So maybe we will see a lot of them that are literally, like you said, one person, two person teams migrate away and go, well, I'm going to go back into traditional music right now because traditional music isn't on strike, for instance.
And that is a lot of publishers' goals right now, because a lot of publishers have a sync arm. And before the strike, I mean, the biggest, I would actually say it was increasing a lot more towards, I guess, the culmination of the strike. But a lot of focus and resources were going into sync arm stuff. Mm-hmm. And even people signing to publishers, like the biggest thing artists wanted was a sync deal, right? That's like, that's the crown achievement.
That was out of a publisher. Without, you know, literally killing and hurting your body every day, touring every day of your life, this was the closest that you could come to, you know, straightforward big check revenue that has value and will pay out over time as well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, and like Joe is saying, these are 1 to 2 man teams. These are small networking, you know, very personal deals. So if you get in that world, that's your golden ticket to get more, right? So it's you know, sync has always been one of the last bastions for an artist really right now to gain revenue since streaming historically has done
especially during COVID too. I mean, it was
Huge. That was the backbone, right? We had no live sync, you know, streaming to joke. And I mean, that was the thing. Like, my joke about producers on TikTok being like, have you guys ever heard of sync licensing? I joke at them, but they're right. You know what I mean? It's just more of like, you know, when I come across six TikToks all saying that, it gets a little annoying.
Yeah. That is one thing about TikTok. You ever open TikTok and you just get hit in the face with a bunch of unsolicited opinions?
Oh yeah.
On like niche things that you're just like, I didn't ask for this.
You're like, they're always like I get stuff where it'll be like, this is the best sponge for your tile shower. And you're like, all right.
I didn't really need this, but I guess I'll find out.
And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, that was really amazing. And then you look in the top comment and it was like, this sponge is a lie. And I'm like, oh, well, they fooled me. Yeah, but like, and then people think about that with like coronavirus. Anyway, no, but anyway, like, it's a situation that I think people obviously are thinking more of my shows. Where are my shows right now? But I think more because of my mindset from the pandemic of those people that will be forced to exit the industry, right? Mm-hmm. Even, and you know, some people are like, big Hollywood, they voted for this or whatever. And I'm like, that's one thing. There are, you know, a bunch of union people that voted for it. I completely support them. You know, I think this is how they have power, strength, and numbers. But there's also a number of industries that are not union that are being affected by this at the same time, right? And for instance, like one of the things that I actually read about, which was really interesting that I didn't think about, and maybe Joe, you saw this too, was LA was talking about the food industry and the amount of like takeout has decreased like exponentially because of mm-hmm. the lack of these actors and these, you know, PAs that would come down and get a giant order. Huge,
yeah, crafty's a huge thing out here.
Not even just like catering, like literally just restaurants around where somebody would go like in between their day of shoots and go coffee.
The crew
and yeah. Like, yeah. And so this is going to be this whole thing. We haven't really talked about on the show because it's so gargantuan that sometimes it was hard for me and Joe to come up with thoughts with everything. But like, yeah, like you're really starting to see the effects of it now. You know what I mean? It was an idea. Yeah. The first couple weeks ago, well, and now we're and seeing
now,
it.
Now even the shipping industry is kind of teasing with the idea of striking currently, which is something else to
right.
keep and in mind well,
thankfully,
that, if,
I saw that UPS made a deal with the Teamsters. I believe that's the union called.
The Teamsters.
That literally was going to be apocalyptic, but still, this is apocalyptic. In terms of the next current, you know, every day this goes by adds 6 months, and that's where the downfall starts, right? So we're just going to keep seeing it from when this started plus 6 months. So, I mean, literally, like, I think I mentioned it. No, I don't even think I mentioned it on the show. HBO, the head of HBO was like, we're good till the end of the year, and then we got nothing. Like,
yeah.
So,
man, it is crazy. Like, we had one of the biggest years, I think, in our lifetime of TV, like this past year. And then just now seeing it, like, it's going to be some of the worst TV we've ever seen in the next year or two. And
it's Joe and I's shot, baby. Here we go.
Dude, what are we going to do with Stranger Things? It's never going to finish. They're never going to finish
the fucking
show. And they're going to be in their 40s. They're going to all be hairy. It's going to be weird.
They're
going
to write in a time skip. They're going to write in a time skip for them.
They're
going
to
be like,
they're going to have to.
And then the brothers who write that show, I can't remember what their name is. They're going to be like, we intended the time skip the entire time. We intended this to be the way. And you're like, sure. Mike was supposed to be 27 when this came out, you know?
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
To more things that are ridiculous, let's talk about Jason Aldean.
Very ridiculous, I'd say.
this is the man of ridiculousness. Along with having the worst bar on earth on Broadway, Jason Aldean has been thrust into the public eye. You can tell I have beef. I have beef with Jason Aldean, but it also sucks. Have beef with that bar.
Well, okay. Our opinion, it sucks.
I'm sure the people who work there are great, but I hated it. Jason Aldean has been thrust into the public eye for another controversial song. He's just kind of the king of being like, bro, I'm mad about something, you know, and writing a song about it. And first off, this controversial song that's in the public eye has exploded. I'm just going to give you that right up front. He did not write the song, which I want to throw out in the beginning of this. He actually just performs the song, which is very normal with country music, but the way he talks about it makes it feel like he wrote the song. He did not. So this song is called, quote, "Try That in a Small Town," which you can maybe see where I'm going with this if you've not heard of this story yet. "Try That in a Small Town" is, you know, a song about togetherness. No, is a very controversial song and was kind of brewing a fire, and it came out in May. And basically, it was, you know, it was a regular Jason Aldean country kind of hit, you know, nothing crazy. And then this music video came out this month in July, and that just dumped gasoline over this entire situation. I cannot escape this story. But I was waiting for more kind of, you know, arguments and discourse to come out before I started talking about it on the show. So, Yeah, I encourage you to listen to the song. If you want to pause the show and come back, this will give you kind of the vibe I did for the show multiple times, so you can suffer with me too. you can tell I'm such a Jason Aldean fan. But like, no, for real, go listen to the song, come back, we'll wait for you. Anyway, for the uninitiated that aren't going to do that, shame, joke. But like, basically this song has so much controversy because it has a lot of threatening kind of lyrics, and basically the theme of the song is kind of consequences for committing crime in a small town, which, I mean, I guess that's country, you know what it is. Jason sings some of the crimes in the song. He says, quote, cuts out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on a flag, light it up, yeah, you think you're tough. Hard, right?
Now, which I would like to point out, stomping on a flag or lighting it on fire is
constitutionally right. Protected. It yes. Is a constitutionally protected freedom. I'm not even joking.
So
the lighting of the flag.
Your cops should endorse burning flags.
Right. It's a free speech thing. So I just wanted to point that out. But he, you know, lays out other crimes like robbing a liquor store, all that kind of stuff. I'll give him fair on that one. He then retorts, which this is the chorus of the song. He goes, quote, well, try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here, we take care of our own. You cross the line. It won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't try that in a small town.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, tough guy, Jason.
He's talking about littering. No, he's not. Anyway, Jason then goes on to say, quote, got a gun that my granddad gave me. They say one day they're gonna round up. Well, that shit might fly in the city. Good luck. Okay. And then lastly, I gotta mention this last thing, which got a lot of heat lyric wise. He goes, quote, full of good old boys, raised up right if you're looking for a fight. And then he repeats the chorus kind of over again. That was most of the song, by the way. It's not a long song, what I just read off. And we know historically the term good old boys has, you know, is really shined upon in American society. No, it's not. God damn it. This is so annoying because everybody, all these people are like, he means exactly that. That's what he means. I'm sorry. Again, this is seen as controversial, and clearly nothing good is going to happen with Jason and the good old boys when they come down with granddaddy's gun in the mob justice manner they're kind of alluding to, right? Again, this was already kind of controversial in May, and just by the song by itself. And then he released the music video, which, Joe, I know you would have a riot with the music video.
I watched it.
Okay, we watched it. Good. Okay, so not alone just the weird editing of that video, but like the video features a lot of protester footage and like kind of like robbery, kind of, you know, like people breaking down windows, that kind of stuff. And it's and then it cuts to Jason Aldean in front of this Columbia, Tennessee courthouse, right?
It's like the reverse of the Pepsi commercial.
where he gives them a Coke and they go insane, you know, like, no, but like, yeah, like it basically is the reverse of the Pepsi commercial, but like with Kendall. But yeah, like it's a courthouse. They cut to him, you know, the guy's rocking out and they're like, you know, outfits, and basically a lot of it has a lot of shots of protests, like I was saying, with like scene transitions. Literally there's a scene like where it shows like cops in like the full SWAT uniform and they're hitting people with batons as the chorus drops, because I guess we're rooting for that. I don't know what the hell these people want, you know. And so a lot of
because
people
nothing's more rock and roll, Colin, than supporting cops.
Right. God, dude. And so, anyway, a lot of people have come after Aldean, obviously, for the racial undertones that permeate the song, as well as mob justice that permeates the song. One fact that has come up to light as well is that a lot of people have made a lynching comparison to a lot of this, saying like that mob justice mentality, the good old boys, all that kind of stuff. And the courthouse that they filmed this music video in front of is where an 18-year-old man named Henry Choate was lynched in 1927. Oh my God. It's beyond words, you know what I mean? Like, with the context of the song, and then also that I'm sure people will say maybe they didn't know, maybe they didn't. Maybe we should have looked this up. Anyway, and maybe they did know. You know what I mean? We don't have an answer on that. I'll give them that. The mayor of Columbia has actually commented on the situation because people are eviscerating each other on X, I guess, now, and not Twitter. So they've commented on the video saying,
I really didn't think X was going to get into this conversation.
We're making today. It, baby. And somehow not the dumbest thing in the show.
Remember when he named his baby X, too?
Something? And it's Kyle. Anyway, the Colombian mayor said, quote, "I respect the artist's freedom of his own lyrics and fans who support him. But I'm hopeful that the next music video that uses our historic downtown as a backdrop will seek a more positive message." Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that was pretty on point, mayor. Like, if I was the mayor, that's a pretty good, you know, middle of the road statement to give right there. Jason has caused a cultural debate with, you know, everybody fighting on X now with Elon Musk's son, Kyle. But like, you know, we have very big people coming out. Travis Tritt came out in support of him. And then Sheryl Crow, also says, quote, "There's nothing small town or American about promoting violence. You should know that better than anyone, having survived a mass shooting. This is not American or small town like, it's just lame," which is alluding to the Las Vegas shooting at the festival that Jason was playing on stage when that tragedy happened.
Which is why Sheryl Crow is forever the biggest badass.
She also comes from a small town in, I believe, Missouri, which is 10 times smaller than Macon, Georgia, which is where Jason's from, which is kind of also hitting it on the nail. I do have to be fair. Let's give Jason's response. Jason responded in a tweet or an X, I don't know, saying, quote, "In the past 24 hours, I've been accused of releasing a pro-lynching song, a song that has been out since May and was subject to the comparison that I, direct quote, was not too pleased with the nationwide BLM protests. These references are not only meritless, but dangerous. There is not a single lyric in the song that references race or points to it. And there isn't a single video clip that isn't real news footage. And while I can try and respect others to have their own interpretation of a song with music, this one goes far." And if there's, the one I have to point out, other than the whole ridiculousness of this statement, is this isn't real news footage. I mean, this isn't. God, I can't believe this. This isn't real news footage. It doesn't make it not terrible with the context of the song. Wait,
no, didn't he say it was real
news footage? Sorry, I only read part of it. There isn't a single video clip that isn't real news footage. So it is real news footage. It doesn't mean that I can play like insensitive clips just around. You know what I mean? Like, I can't just be like, it's real though.
You can also edit a lot.
Context is key.
Anything look crazy.
Right. And so that was the one that, like, out of that whole thing, I was like, that's the most not defense ever. Anyway, Jason has financially reaped the huge benefits from the song and now has probably his highest career high ever, basically, because of this song. So let me talk about it. So other than the negative comments that, you know, are in the discourse, the industry hasn't done much to kind of, you know, make comments or anything about what's going on with Jason and all this stuff. The only industry organization that has really made any effort to disassociate has been CMT, because they dropped the video of the song from their playlisting, which, good move for y'all. And, anyway, that has not stopped the success of this song at all. There has been no industry blowback, nothing close to any other country musician blowback that we have seen. So the video on YouTube, even with CMT cutting the video from the song, or the video of the song from their different channels and different media, the video on YouTube currently sits at 23 million views. And it has a load of positive comments all through it, which makes sense to me. Like, you know, if you're coming to look for the song or whatever, you're probably wanting to know. You know, I wanted to do it from a journalistic perspective, but there's a lot of onlookers that come in, and comments are generally a minority of the people that are watching the video. That's, you know, the idea on Twitter, where it's get ratioed if you have a lot more comments. Anyway, or X, my bad. Got to get used to that. Jason is now currently, by the way, this is the one that blows me away, number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Not the country chart, the 100 chart. So like the chart that every artist wishes in their career to be on top of. He is number one right now. And this has launched Aldean back to the forefront of popular music. This is his first number one ever. And this is the third longest gap between an artist's first chart on the 100 to their last. It's been 17 years since he's been on that chart. So when I say he's being brought to the forefront of popular music again, he is. This song also joins only 20 other country songs as a country song to get on number one, the country chart, and number one on the Billboard Hot 100. This is one of the 20 or one of the 21 songs of country music that has ever made it to the top, to the top, to the top, which is insane. This is also the first time ever that the top three slots of the Billboard 100 have been country music, because you have Jason Aldean, you have Morgan Wallen's Last Night, and then you have a cover of Fast Car by Luke Combs at number three. Wow. This is like, whatever you think about the situation, the chart information of this is insane, right? This is like irregular. Like, you do not see this, right? Country music has big hits, but since, you know, Morgan Wallen's rise and then fall and then rise again, it has not remained at this high of a level almost ever, right? Like, literally only 20 other country songs have been on number one country chart and number one Billboard Hot 100 chart. So my question that I asked everybody was about controversy. And so I'm going to ask Joe the same question. I don't know what you voted on the poll, Joe. If you want to vote on our polls, they're at The Biz Tape pretty much everywhere, but mostly on Instagram. What am I talking about? It's a quote, "Is being canceled the secret to country music success?"
I would say no. I would say no, because, I mean, I think it's maybe here, asterisk. I'd say no if you don't identify as a man. Because if we saw the Dixie Chicks.
Wow. That's a really good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is currently what's going on. On that end. But when it comes to, like, there's always going to be a counterculture movement on anything. There's going to be a movement, and then there's going to be another movement counteracting that movement. Although these numbers seem high, they're not that high in the music industry. Like, when it comes to, like, the rest of the music industry, these aren't numbers.
Well, I would argue yes and no. So for instance, for country music, it's huge from the reference point of being in country music, right? Because one of my favorite pet peeves ever living in Nashville is people go, "We got a number one on the chart. We got a number three on the chart." And I go, "You got a number one on the country chart." You know what I mean? The last time Jason, with one of his breakout hits, was on here, he was like number 40, right? Which is still big. It's not nothing. But, you know, the way, if you live around Nashville or know country music, people flaunt that it's the biggest thing ever. It's not. You know what I mean? It's not most of the time. But I would say in retrospect to historical stuff and even going on data, actually Billboard hits on this, that country music has been up 20% year over year. Right. And that's insane, like, for a genre to do that. Right. And so I think, and Morgan Wallen's Last Night, number one, is, you know, that album Dangerous is up there and continues to be up there and may breach the chart as one of the longest charting pieces of music, right? For its accolades and sales and everything. Mm-hmm. So in terms of, like, from country music, yes, this is, like, huge, big. But I get what you mean, because this is just one genre, right? And country music as an irregularity, like, in that Hot 100 is an irregularity. It doesn't happen that much. But what's weird and happening right now in the last year or two is that it's popping off exceedingly well. And it's interesting to see it come to the forefront so readily. I think there's a couple things that I would be interested in with this data when it comes to country music. Number one is the amount of country fans that are going to streaming now. It is, you know, we've joked on the show all the time about how radio's dying, all this kind of stuff. And country music is kind of one of the last bastions of terrestrial radio. But that means that there's a lot of untapped market for them when it comes to streaming wise, right? And so there's a lot of people jumping that ship and streaming an incredible amount more country music than other artists. So it's getting a huge boost in comparison to everything, which is what a chart is. It's a comparison to everything else, right? The other thing I will say is the prevalence of country music to buy, right? Because one thing that's huge about Billboard charts and charts in general is that a stream does not equal a buy, right? You have to do hundreds of streams to get one buy, right? Thousands. You know what I mean? So for country music fans and the amount of sales that I know are going on there, this shows that they're buying it, which is a lot more consumer power in that front, right? Kind of what we were talking about earlier. This is upfront money, $10. One thing that's interesting that I think is kind of hilarious is, other than being one of the last bastions of terrestrial radio, you know what another service country music is one of the last bastions of? And Joe's going to die at this.
Cigarettes. Oh.
No, vaping under
cut. iTunes.
Okay.
Mac DeMarco.
Right. No, but like iTunes, seriously, like a lot. Do you, and here's the thing, do you hear like other artists that aren't in country music ever talking about iTunes? For God's sakes, no. Right?
Back when the iTunes chart was popping off, baby.
Right.
That was
country music is really big in iTunes still, in physically buying stuff, which will populate you more on the chart. Now, that's the thing with the chart, though, is the charts are designed to try to be accurate to consumer interest, right? But at the same time, they're calculated, but you can also know the things that make charting work differently, right? Buying things will exponentially increase your ability on the chart, which is why Billboard banned merch bundles to be checked on the chart, right? You had to have a separate fee for a CD. It had to be, it couldn't be a shirt and a CD for $30. It had to be a shirt plus a CD. They're $15 each, showing the consumer that you have a choice of buying it, right? That's how people used to scam the chart all the time. But now, I think because country music is embracing a lot of technology more and more, and they still have that buyer's mentality, I think they're really hitting the chart. And it's because of the way the chart has biases towards that music. Do I think that it is underestimating country music? Absolutely not. Country music is huge. I do think there is kind of a giant, you know, exponential increase right now, right? I cannot deny that. But do I think that the fan base of country music impacts the chart in a more positive way because of the way they consume music? Yes. You know, and That's what I think is interesting. And what at the end of the day, I think that's one of the biggest things that I take away from this, you know? Because this is career stuff, bag of courage. Again, I was joking about how Nashville will go off the chain about being, you know, they'll just say, we're number one on the chart, and they'll never refer to it as the country music chart. This is stuff that will go down in history. People will be like, country music was at its top right now. You know what I mean? If not, if it's not going to get bigger. So it's interesting to watch that all happen. And I think one of the things that maybe you can talk on, Joe, is the power of video here is, I think, also really showing. You know what I mean? This song wasn't a big song until that video came out. As, you know, as controversial as that video is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that video propelled that song, which is like kind of showing the power of video, is that if you have a video that people want to watch, in this case, a lot of them want to watch to hate on it, or want to watch in defiance to watch it. You know what I mean? But still, like, the power of video is insane. Would you agree that the power of video is propelling this so much compared to just the song itself?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just kind of threw it in people's conscience, like consciousness to some level. I mean, yes, I agree with that assessment of like video itself is more powerful than, because I think we're just all innately online more and looking at more visual things right now. When it comes to the level of my bias, I hate this video. I'm just going to say it off the bat.
I mean, I don't like it either, right?
I think it's a lame video, just objectively. I don't think it's like a very like great music video. I personally have a lot of problems with Aldean, just because of a lot of his political
of the
stances.
Subject matter.
Just historically his political takes and stances are just garbage. So it's really hard for me to sit there and like listen to his half-assed PR statement come out and be like, well, guys, I didn't actually say the thing, you know, like I didn't actually do it. I just like kind of led you guys there, you know, but I didn't actually say anything. But when it comes to like the power of video, yes, I think that's the case. I think country fans, yes, they buy shit, but they only buy shit that is rooted in their political way. And I think that in a lot of cases,
he's catering to his fan base.
I think very soon, I think in the next 10 years, it's going to drop, because I think a lot of country fans are going to, for lack of a better analogy, age out of a lot of these artists. I think a lot of these artists have older fan bases that are may not be around in the next 10, 20 years. And I think I think trends are going to shift for sure.
I think I hope that, you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of people that support this controversial thing just because, you know, it feels like it aligns with their values more than the music, right?
It fuels their political view. A lot of people are buying it who don't even like Jason Aldean, but they believe in the statement of
it. Right. We saw the same thing with Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, exactly. Because, he's a hot button topic. So let me support this brave soul who's fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
You know, like in their view. But I don't actually think that it's like a ton of music fans.
Well, and my thing is that Jason is catering to his audience, right? And, you know, think of that the way it is, but he is, right? That's what he's doing. And, I think that's why I use the fire metaphors, because he's fueling the fires, that the more kind of eyes he gets on this, good or bad, he's getting a win-win because he's getting people talking about it. You know what I mean? And Jason's brand is based on these kind of controversial takes, right? He's based on being a good old boy, right? And so I think for him, the reason that it succeeds for him financially is because it works, because it goes into his demo, right? You know, in the same way, which is why it's, for me, very sad to see, because as someone who moved to Nashville and was not a country guy at all, there's some country I like, and there's some country people that I've met that are very good and, you know, open and, you know, very, very, let's say I would describe as a new wave of country that I could get behind, right? And I feel like when stuff like this happens, it's just a, you know, all these people all the time will go, country music's changing. We're changing it from the inside. All these organizations will be like, we're changing it from the inside, doing all this. And then this happens. And I just feel like this is the biggest middle finger to what some of these people that I know are trying to get away from, right?
Well,
I think there are legitimately people in country music that are trying to represent people that Jason Aldean doesn't represent. And I think it's, you know, a middle finger to them. And then I also think there's a good majority of it that are just enabling this. You know what I mean? That are enabling this to be the only way that country music can exist.
Yeah. I mean, country music and enabling is kind of goes hand in hand.
Right. And I think you have enabling centuries. In every genre of different things. I mean, but like, this is country music's bane. You know what I mean? This is it right here. If you wanted a great example to show the problems with country music, this is it. Like, I think if you wanted if I was teaching a class about how country music is trying to evolve and be more inclusive and stuff like that, this would be one of my examples of we got a long way to go, right? And so, yeah, I mean, I don't mean to put it so bluntly. I usually don't do it on the show, but that's, you know, kind of how I feel about it. I mean, at the end of the day, you can feel however you want to. And so far, Jason, there's nothing getting around it. It's benefiting financially from this a lot.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Which also, I think we could even get into another discussion, probably not now, but another time, of just like how, like, what is helping the situation and what's just getting people more money.
Oh yeah. And that's like a great ethical question to ask,
because a lot of these people,
should we be talking about,
like, you know what I mean? Yeah. If you don't like a lot of these people in the public eye, I mean, the biggest thing is just to ignore them.
Right.
You know, but part of that is also like, if you're ignoring it, are you like also ignoring like the
life itself,
the horrible thing that comes with, you know, like there's some things you can't ignore, and that's for sure.
But oh yeah. I agree. I mean, that's a hard conversation to have, and that's a big one. We can table it right now, but this is definitely something that I think the music industry struggles with. It's like, what is putting an eye on a situation that is, you know, unacceptable in somebody's eyes, and what is, you know, enabling someone to get in front of someone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one that, you know, not only the music industry, but celebrity itself has always struggled with. So I guess it's up to you. I think in the purposes of our show, I wanted to talk about it because it's a prime example of it. And we try to talk about stuff that's, you know, music business oriented and prime examples, and sadly will happen again. But is it worth you, you know, posting on your Facebook page being like, I'm really outraged at this music video? And then getting other people to click on it.
I don't know if people on Facebook would be outraged by it or on the opposite side.
I think it depends on what kind of Facebook you're on, you know. But true. Yeah, it's just, it's
we're
definitely
both still on the vaporwave Facebook.
I think what's apparent in this situation at the end of the day is we know what the cause and effect is, right? We know why people find this controversial. We know why people are talking about it. And the effect is Jason Aldean is having a renaissance of his career, right? That's what's happening at the end of the day. And, you know, as much as this is a controversial thing, like, it has sides to it, right? And you can be on whatever side you want. That's the thing we can't argue with, right? That's the thing no one can argue with. We know why it's controversial, and we know what happens. The question now is this the regular from now on for country music and for music itself? Will this continue on for the rest of our lives and the rest of your children's lives and stuff? My answer would hopefully be no, but we'll have to see from there. So I would take this causality with you if I was listening, you know.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Anyway, Joe, what have you been listening to?
Man, I have been listening to a lot of stuff, actually. I got into, a friend of mine actually recommended the Weepies, which
I really
never
thought
like,
you were going to say Weezer and I was going to laugh so hard. My friend recognizes this band called Weezer.
Not Weezer this week, but yeah, it's a band called the Weepies. I guess they're kind of like big in like the early 2000s vibe, they, like kind of Y2K vibe with into the 90s.
Taking away that you're not actually talking about Weezer. Keep going.
No. But been listening to them a little bit, especially the song Not Your Year. I think it's an amazing, amazing track. Also listened to Spill Tab with track Anybody Else. It's really, really good, good song. And then I've been listening to a lot of Methyl Ethyl again, my favorite song by them, Real Tight, which is really, it's a tight song. So check it out. Colin, what have you been listening to?
Oh, let's see. I've been listening to, speaking of country music, Jason Aldean. No, I'm joking. But like I did listen to the song for that. And then I was listening to, cause we love karaoke in this town. I have to prepare my country karaoke because, you know, I gotta have a couple, right? And so my one of my favorites is Sold by John Michael Montgomery, which is, hey, little lady, won't you give me a sign? You know, most fucking Nash people have heard that. But I think it's like, it's a really funny song. It's a very Southern song. Like, it just cannot exist anywhere else because it's literally called, like, the first lines are about the Grundy County auction. Literally the name of the song, which I think is so wild, is Sold, parentheses, the Grundy County auction incident, end parentheses. but it's just a little wild, like, 90s country song that I just think is, like, so goofy. I actually was talking about this today, with some coworkers. I said, I think the reason that, like, country music is so sometimes fun for me is the same reason that, like, metal music is fun for me sometimes. Because it feels like putting on a character. You know what I mean? I'm not a cowboy, but it is really fun to go, hey, little lady, won't you give me a sign? You know what I mean? It's just like, it feels like I'm in theater. You know what I mean? In the same way that, like, if I'm doing a Megadeth and it's like, just like the Pied Piper. And you're like, what are you talking about? And it's like, no, it's my character. It's my character. You know what I mean? I'm getting into the role. That's kind of the songs I've been on lately. It's just that kind of stuff because it's just like, I know there are some human beings out there that feel like this is me, and that's great. But for me, it feels like a hyperbole character half the time to be like, you know, over here trying to get a girl at an auction. You know what I mean? But anyway, it is what it is. It's just really fun kind of music to play that's just like very, like, I would say circular. I really like the guitar part in that song too. It's just like very spaghetti Western style too. So I'll leave you with that. Some country music I can actually give my stamp of approval on.
Hell yeah. Well, we're at the end of our rope.
I want you to
know,
here
in the Wild West.
For some fucking reason, I'm such a fidgeter. I literally am sitting here with a pen, and for some reason, I, right as I said, a music that I can give, like, my, you know, mark on, I can approve of, I wrote an A on my thigh with a pen. And now I just have to live with that. I already took a shower today. Wait, I can't get this off.
Wait, Colin, I think you got to get it tattooed.
I wrote A plus. It's not even right side up. It's even better. My brain was like, let's just put A right here. And then I just, God damn it, I did it again. All right.
No, you. All right, we got to end the podcast before Colin writes the alphabet.
I threw the pen away.
I like how it wasn't just like put the cap on.
Guys, thanks for listening to The Biz Tape. Pretty much everywhere, by the way, on social media, at The Biz Tape, Instagram, Facebook, X, I guess. Anyway, if you want to follow us there, feel free to follow us there for more business content everywhere you consume social media. And as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.